May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be holy and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. George Washington, the founding father and first president of the United States, one of the founding fathers, transcribed a little book as a school exercise sometime before he was 16 years old. It is entitled Rules of Civility and Decent Behavior in Company and Conversation. You can find it online, and it's a real gem. It includes every piece of advice you can possibly imagine for any kind of social situation. There's something practical about all of the advice in this little book. For instance, every action done in company ought to be with some sign of respect to those that are present. Let your countenance be pleasant, but in serious matters, somewhat grave. Keep your nails clean and short. Also, your hands and teeth clean, yet without showing any great concern for them. He does get a little heavy on the details sometimes. Shake not the head, feet, or legs. Roll not the eyes. Lift not one eyebrow higher than the other. Write not the mouth. And bedew no man's face with your spittle by approaching too near him when you speak. I promise not to bedew any of your faces with my spittle if we shake hands at the back after the service. The gospel today sounds a little like Washington's rules. It reads like a lesson in table manners. Jesus is sitting at a dinner party, a guest in a Pharisee's home, and he is lecturing everyone at the table about how they ought to behave at the table. I wonder if it was a little awkward to be getting a lesson in table manners while you're eating dinner. And there's something practical to his advice as well, if you think about it. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. When you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, "Friend, move up higher." Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. Now, if read a certain way, it sounds as if Jesus is in the business of giving shrewd political advice here. A first century, how to win friends and influence people. You can imagine the guests at the table trying to rub shoulders with the right people, among the Pharisees, among the teachers of the law, some honorable, some not so honorable, maybe a few who are just along for the ride. Is this really the best that Jesus has to offer us today? A lesson on the value of humility for the sake of influence, a lesson on the value of political calculation, reminiscent of an episode of The West Wing. There's something more at stake here. The passage today is found within a long stretch of parables, word pictures of the kingdom come, snapshots of God's new creation in story form. And sometimes the lessons seem kind of obvious, you know, the Good Samaritan. That makes sense to most of us. Sometimes they are a little harder to decipher. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. Sometimes their message carries us to conclusions that exhibit the lavishness of God's love, as in the parable of the prodigal son. Their message at the core, though, entails wrapping our heads around a different way of viewing our social order. Not just common sense, but a renewed and converted common sense, the sense of God's kingdom, a way of mercy and love that expands our imagination. And here, in Jesus' version of the rules of civility, we have something that transcends the logic of our world, something that is more than mere civility, a kingdom where those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who are humbled will be exalted. A kingdom where people are not simply equal, but where the least of these actually get priority, where it is not a matter of simply leveling the playing field, but the turning the world upside down altogether. This is the extravagance of God's kingdom. You don't follow the rules to gain influence. You follow them to become part of a new family in a new world order. You don't simply provide a handout. You sit at a table together and learn what it's like to be family there. I heard a theologian, a lecturer, a couple years ago, a man who had grown up in Sierra Leone. And he had grown up Christian in a country where he was part of a minority group. Christians are not the religious majority there. And someone asked him whether he thought he had grown up in a tolerant culture, in a tolerant environment, being a minority religious group there. And his answer caught my attention, and it has stuck with me. "I wouldn't call it religious tolerance," he said. "You don't tolerate that which you value. You don't tolerate that which you value." What we're called to in this gospel, what we're called to in our Christian life, is something more than tolerance. It's not just respect for people to do their own thing. What we are called to is an active love, a way of being that opens that table wider and wider every time we meet. It is something more than just mere influence. It is something more than just getting by. It is the vision of God's kingdom, redeemed, renewed, and whole. These are the table manners of hope and mercy. What does that look like for us right now? What does that look like for us at home, at school, at work, in our world today? That's the question that I'm left with today. And I pray that we may step beyond mere civility into the dream of God's kingdom. Amen.